The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. This is the show where we stay focused on cash flow and to create legacy wealth through real estate investing. I'm Clayton Morris.
Yes, you are. Did you want me to say my own name?
Yes, and that is my lovely wife, Natalie Morris. I need to say her name because she doesn't know her name sometimes.
I know my name, but you know, I don't know my ranking on this podcast. And sometimes I don't know. Oh, yeah. I'm like a guest host. Sometimes you introduce me and sometimes you just pause. And
so, it's sort of like, however, we sort of fly by the seat of our pants.
I need a promotion. I need an actual.
You're an equal member of the Morris Invest family. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
How's your office? It's freezing up there.
Oh my gosh, it's cold.
Well, we're in this cold snap now because it's almost, it's almost Thanksgiving. Well, like Thanksgiving, by the time you hear this show, it'll be like tomorrow, right? Thanksgiving tomorrow. So we're recording this on Thanksgiving week and we just got this cold snap through the East Coast. It's like 25 degrees and brutal.
Yeah. Brr.
But you're cold when it's 80 degrees out. So you're no bellwether.
No, nice little dig there. Nice little dig. Well, placed.
All right. So what are we going to talk about today?
So because it's Thanksgiving week, we thought that we would talk about the importance of gratitude as a business principle more than just something that you kind of do on the side. Because, I'm not going to lie to you. We've had a good year. This has been actually a really big year in the Morris house in terms of wealth building. And it's not lost on me what life was like when we first got married or what life was like when I was, single, and how it gets easier to pay our bills as we accomplish our goals. And I just don't ever want to lose sight of how it feels not to be successful and to just be really grateful for it. Because I think the minute that you're not grateful for it is the time that shaky ground starts. It's, I think it's no secret that we tend to be really spiritual people. And I really believe that the minute you're not grateful for it, it's your signal to the universe that it's not important to you anymore. And that's when you can lose so much. I hope that's not an offensive thing to say, right?
I think my
own spirituality here.
No, who is the name of that doctor that we, in that two-part episode of that podcast, we listened to and then we really dove deep on that philosophy? He's a physicist.
Remember his name? Gosh. I'm going to find it for you.
Well, I'll give you a little backstory on his philosophy. One of the things he believes is that we sort of live right now, our whole lives, we're living in a simulation. Now, we have the power to create our own reality. And physics now backs that up. I mean, they actually have at the molecular level, at the particle level, when you place your intention on a particular particle, that particle is created. When you're not paying attention to it, it can go away. And they see this, actually in the lab. So all of the philosophy over the many, many, thousands of years from spiritual leaders has always been that when you place your intention on something, it becomes true. But now we actually have the science that supports that.
It's the same theory behind prayer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you're meditating on, something that you're asking the universe for, whether the universe is in your mind called God or, you know, life energy or life force. The scientist you're talking about is Tom Campbell, and he writes about theory of everything, or TOE, like toe. And it's this idea that there's one theoretical framework that links all of us together, and that's what's called the universe. And you know, religion is just sort of a story of that very framework. It's a story around it with characters like God and Jesus and all of that stuff. And you may believe that those things are really true, and that's wonderful, but it's the same sort of underlying principle that we are all linked through energy and belief. And I just think that it's really beautiful to think of it this way.
Well, yeah. And I think the reason I brought it up is because I believe that too. I think though I think the main takeaway from his research is that when you think abundantly, or when you think about creating something in your life, you know, he says this is the problem with the movie The Secret or the book The Secret. What they didn't explain is that when you are trying to attract things into your life, if it is not in keeping with the collective consciousness improving, that is to say that all of us are improving, you know, we're helping our fellow man, we're helping our fellow families in our neighborhood. When you think abundantly as a means of helping others and you're improving the collective consciousness, that's when you create attraction. That's when things come into your life. But if you just sit there and say, I want to be rich, I want to be a greedy man, you know, I just want to make money. And it's not for the collective good, or if you just want material things, or if you're focused on the things that don't improve the collective consciousness, then it won't come to you. And that's what he says The Secret got wrong. And he says this is true at the molecular level. We see this to be the case. So it's almost like the idea of floating all boats, right? So in your meditation or in your business practices, what can you do to help other people rise? You know, and I'm not sure. When we look at our business, I'm trying to think of in real estate and what we do. What is when we set aside a certain percentage of our monthly rent that comes in and the profitability of, you know, of everything, how we're donating money, how does all that shake out for us?
Well, what we aim to do is we use the profit first system. And in profit first, we've talked about this many times. You set aside money for taxes, for owner pay, for a profit sort of coffers, and then your operating expenses of your business. But as we tally what we spend, we have decided that we're going to take 10% out of that off the top, which changes the percentages of the other allotments. And we try and put 10% into some kind of charitable donation. And so, you know, what those things are, we talk about them and we decide, you know, what are the values of our family, and we funnel the money that way. And that's also a very old spiritual principle of tithing, where you give 10% of your income to whatever it is that spiritually feeds you, either your church or charity or things like that.
Right. And, you know, Edwin Gaines writes about this in her book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Success. And one of the things she talks about is tithing, that you cannot have success unless you give money away, unless you give it away. And it seems at the beginning for people who don't have money, right? You're scared of money, you have, and that's really when you should be giving it away. She argues that it's an amazing book. You really should read it. And I think it's a great time and a place for us, and as we're entering the holidays, for all of us to read that book again. But one of the things she talks about is this idea that, you know, when you have nothing, when you're scared of money, that's the time when you should be giving away even that 10% that you don't have or you don't think you have. You have a dollar to your name, you know, give 10 cents away. And you'll watch. If you give it away with intention, that money will come back to you. It will come back to you tenfold. And it really is remarkable. I mean, people don't believe it to be the case. It truly, truly happens. When you start to give money away, when you start to be greedy and you think from a place of lack, that you need to do something and this other person must suffer while you achieve, then things start to vanish from your life. It's almost like it's like a spigot. It happens so quickly, you will be stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, and so when we start to just, whether a friend or a family member, you know, that we know is suffering through something difficult, you know, just to be able to just to jump in and just donate money immediately, and without even thinking about it, because it's the right thing to do. or to set aside that money and to not be greedy, but to really think about improving your community and helping with this particular cause or donating to this shelter or in order to bring food for children who don't have it. And even teaching that with your children. I mean, that's something we talk about with our children and making sure that they have a give jar in their room that they can put money in. And when they see something on TV or they hear about something like Hurricane Matthew or whatever, they wanted to donate their money to the children, you know, who lost, like, you know, who needed clothes, who needed food. That's a really powerful thing to teach your family.
Yeah. And I will admit that this is something that takes work. And sometimes I have to say, okay, I have this 10% coffer. What do I do with it? And we have to think about it. And we have to talk about it. And it's so easy to be last order of business. I think that we could even be better about that. And as our kids get older, I would like them to help us to decide where we allocate money according to our family values. But they don't understand how to split up numbers just yet. They're pretty little. And I think that there are great conversations that we can have around this. And I just think it's really important, but really easy to let sit by the wayside.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that Edwine Gaines talks about in her book, The Four Spiritual Laws, she says not to just like blindly give the money. You know, she talks about 10%. It's obviously spiritual law. It's biblical law. But she says it even predates the Bible, the idea of giving 10%, you know, that obviously the idea of a tithe is tenth tithe, right? And she says not to just like blindly give it to a church, you can, but she says really think about who's giving you who's bringing you spiritual nourishment in your life. Maybe it's the waitress who, you know, you go to a breakfast place every week and she's there with a smile at 5 a.m. and she just brightens your day, told you a great story, or listened to something that you said, and you had a difficult morning and, you know, your car wouldn't start, and she just engaged you in conversation and really made you feel great. You could leave that person a really nice tip, like a much larger tip than you ever imagined. And that person brought you spiritual nourishment today. That's how you can tithe. It's not blindly just mailing a check to the National Resources Defense Council to save polar bears, which, you know, maybe that does spiritually nourish you. But really thinking about and being intentional with your giving.
Right. Yeah.
I think we need to be better about it. I mean, and you think about it, it can be hard, right? It could be an author of a book that you read. It could be, you know, it could be anything really. It doesn't have, you know, something that's bringing you spiritual nourishment. You know, how do you donate money to that person? How do you let them know that they're that they've changed your life in some sort of special way? How can you donate money to do that? I don't know. It's hard, and you have to be intentional about it and think about it. That's why I think it's so important not just blindly do it.
Right. And that's why meditation is an important part of our daily routine, because, you know, we can sort of think about our values and think about what we're thankful for. And, I was sort of looking through my journal because we're getting towards the end of the year and thinking about the things that I had wanted for this year. And how I really like tried to see it and visualize it. And now that a lot of those things have happened, top of my list is that I had a healthy baby. And we were sort of thinking at the end of the year that we wanted to have another baby. And then, we didn't know that we were pregnant when I was writing these things out in New Year's. And, I was thinking, you know, I would like to give birth to this beautiful child sort of by the end of this year. And now that it's happened, it's a really good time to think back about what you wanted and what you got and what you didn't get and how you can sort of see yourself like life just expanding and be grateful for those things. Now is a time to really put that positive energy out and see what you want and just be so grateful that those things have happened for you.
And right, when you're thinking about gratitude and you're thinking about abundance, it's like if you have like I have a whiteboard in my office, right? And I write out the things that I want to accomplish this year or that I wanted to accomplish last year. And it is amazing when I look at those items, like we've hit all of those goals. And when you write out these goals, again, if it's not in keeping with like improve floating all boats, mm-hmm. then maybe it's a time to take stock and maybe cross a few of those things off your list. If it's not, if you look at it and you say, you know what, that one item on my goal list is kind of selfish. It's actually kind of greedy, right? maybe I need to cross that one off my list. If that's not helping other people, if that's not improving, you know, the lives of my family, if that's not helping the greater good, maybe it's time to reassess your goals. And when you think abundantly, to include all people and not just to be thinking about yourself.
Yeah. There's this great, book that I'm reading right now called The Anatomy of a Spirit that talks about the various ways that misalignment in your life can result in disease. Like you hold these kind of grudges, or you try and control other people, or you're sort of hyper vigilant in the way you conduct your business. And that can manifest in terms of inflammation and stress and different actual physical disease inside the body, which I think is such a powerful way to think about your intention and your actions. And she talks about how, you know, when you do something, there are plenty of good reasons to do a lot of different things, plenty of good reasons to want certain things. But if you really like peel back the onion and you see some kind of like shriveled turd there at your intention, right?
Right.
Maybe you don't want that thing. You have to think about why you want that thing. And I was talking to you about, you know, something that I had done, and I was like, maybe I did that out of despair. I don't know. And so if you can sort of see your root motivation for why you treat people a certain way, or why you act a certain way, or why you hoard money, or, you know, all of that stuff, and you can see like, oh, that's actually harder on me than it is on the people who are a victim of that kind of behavior, I think that's really empowering and clarifying in terms of, you know, why you want things. And I think if you say like, why I wanted this other baby, I think, you know, I know why, and I understand what it adds to my family. And that, I think that's why I'm just so, so grateful, because I was able to really do something with intention and do it relatively well, although I was a bit cranky. And then I can really, you know, be grateful for those things, because I think that it was a collaboration between me and my spiritual self.
Well, and remember back, I mean, and this is why I know that this resonates with a lot of our listeners who suffer from those like negative associations with money. And they think that if someone else has something that they don't have it, or and vice versa, like if they attain it, that somebody else perhaps shouldn't have it, or that there's not enough for everyone, so I need to hold on to this. And that's really been at the heart of my struggle over, you know, through my life, right? Is that idea that if I've got to get it, that means that I've got to hold on to it, right? I've got to. And I've really shifted my thinking over the past few years to understand that money just flows through us, that it just, right. You know, we get money and it comes in, we put it in certain accounts and we build legacy wealth for our family, but we're also then floating that money right to some charity, something that we really believe in to help other people. Like it just flows through us, and it's coming abundantly, and it's going out. And that real shift for me, really, really difficult. Probably the hardest thing I've had to face in my life is this idea of lack and the negative associations with money. And this past year, you know, over the past few years, we'd struggled to pay our bills. I mean, we were at the end of the month. I mean, that's really how I came up with the freedom. You know, we collaborated and came up with the freedom cheat sheet and put that all together and how to figure out our financial freedom number. Because, yeah. You know, over the years, I've really remember at the end of the month, you would say to me, you know, I don't know how we're going to pay our mortgage this month.
Right. I think it's okay to share this kind of thing. We once had to sell electronics on eBay to make our mortgage payment. Like
I had to go through my closet and find like an old camera, right. That, you know, and it was like, I had to go through my wardrobe and sell like some old clothes like on eBay in order to pay our mortgage. And we were like literally down to the penny. And you know, we've been there.
Put our groceries on a credit card, you know, that week to feed our kids. So yeah, we've been there. We know what that feels like.
And I guess what I'm saying is that in this past year, thinking about this third child, because you can look at children as obviously you love them, of course, but you can also look at them as a financial burden. And I really, when you were like saying to me, really, you want a third child? And you said, do you realize what that means? And I was saying, I said, I don't know how I put it to you, but I said, I'm thinking abundantly. Like, I believe we have enough space and we're going to create more space for this baby, and our lives are going to expand, and abundance is going to come in order to protect, you know, and take care of our family. And we just started like donating money. We started donating money. We started thinking really abundantly in our lives, focusing on that. And I didn't want this baby to come and have this sort of like fear-based approach. Oh, well, now this baby's going to cost for college and all these other things. And it's really been a change in my life, I think.
Yeah. And I see it as a pivotal point for both of us. So we sort of let go and said, okay, we want to think about how this will not be a burden, but a joy and a lesson and in surrender. And so, yeah, I am grateful for the success that we've had this year, but I'm mostly grateful for the continued prospering of my family more than anything else. So I think that's a good place to end. Do you want to talk about what you're thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful, you know, you reminded me of something this year, which I think is important. I'm so thankful for our listeners of this show, but also the investors that we've been able to help. I get emails from people all over the country who've taken action and like bought their first rental property or bought their fourth rental property, or they're building passive income and they're starting to really shift their thinking about wealth building. And that I'm so grateful that people found some joy, in this podcast, and were able to take action in a meaningful way for their family. And you really reminded me of something this year, which I think we could talk about. It's private, but within the business with Morris Invest and helping investors, let's say, we were behind on construction on a property, or we didn't get pictures to an investor in a timely fashion, or there was some issue with, the health department or whatever, those like things that creep up. It's part of the business. It's part of the process that you just have to deal with. And you would say to me, oh, what are you doing? I said, oh, I have to deal with this right now. I'm just putting out a fire. I want to take care of this and make sure we're on, this is all taken care of and this. And you said, I want you to stop saying I'm putting out a fire. And why did you say that to me?
Well, you put me on the spot here for a lot of different reasons. One is because it puts you in a state of anxiety where you're like, oh, something went bad and I have to fix something that's bad. And I said, well, the reason people are turning to you is because there's a trust there. And they trust that you can fix something, that there's some person needs someone to do something and another person is doing that thing, but doesn't know the right direction or isn't communicating with the original person. And you come together and it's more like you're healing a situation that's got some kind of link that's broken in the chain. And so it's more of like this opportunity to heal where people are having some breakdown, but also because you understand that if an investor says this bad thing happened, I get this like, $20 fine because the grass is too long from the city, which we got last week, which is total bunk, by the way. What the heck?
I know. They just try to make money.
You're going to fine me $20. It costs you more in administrative fees to give me a $20 fee because you don't like this bush. It's so stupid. But that's a tangent. And so, someone gets a bill like this and they immediately get scared like, oh, did I misplace my money? Have I misplaced my trust? Am I not okay? I've worked hard for this. Am I safe? Right. And so you can come in and say, we're going to help you with this. You're safe. You haven't made a bad investment. You're going to make some money back. This is a good thing for you. And I think that that's a really beautiful opportunity to connect with people and, help allay their fears and to, understand that people trust you is such a privilege. And so I think that's why I said that to you. I said, people are asking you to help them and giving you their trust. It's really actually a beautiful privilege more than just like, I'm putting out a fire.
Right. And because I come from a place of fear and anxiety. That's how I was raised, with this idea that, oh, am I making the wrong decision? Oh, am I, So I take on people's anxieties about things, even though like I know it's fine. And I know like our whole lives have changed because of rental real estate, right? I mean, the fact that like the passive income now covers like our living expenses is a total blessing, right? And so I know that to be the case, but for a new investor who's just getting started, they might not yet understand the power of that. And so there's like a learning curve. And you're right. I used to think, oh, I want to help. And I would take on that person's anxiety a little bit. And, oh, I'm just, you know, got to put out a fire. And I've shifted my thinking about that a lot. And it's been such a powerful shift mentally to think abundantly and to think that, no, we're helping. And it's all part of a process of helping other people. And, you know, that's a really, it was hard for me. I mean, it you know, to not want to take on people's anxieties, you know. I guess I get that from my mom. She's, you know, she's a little bit of a worrywart, love her, of course, but she's, you know, she, if her daughter is upset or son's upset or her boss is upset, you know, she takes that on in a very kind of personal way. And I, you know, that can be hard sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a good way to, you know, that's sort of what the spiritual books teach us about any kind of problem is like, okay, where's the opportunity here? Not this is sort of the same way you parent your kids, right? Where's the teachable moment here?
Right. Right. Yeah. So I'm thankful this year. It's just been an amazing year. And I'm thankful to all of our listeners who have downloaded the podcast. I'm thankful to all of the kind people who've listened and left 5-star reviews. I really appreciate that.
I like 5-star reviews. I'm thankful for that.
I'll read one. Here's Max Odison left us one this week. Said, "Hey, Mr. Morris, I really appreciate the work and effort that you put into each and every podcast. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that." Brian wrote this, "Changed my outlook on investing." He left a 5-star review. "Thanks to this podcast, I've been able to acquire my first buy and hold rental real estate investment." That is... Clayton does a great job staying laser focused on what matters and the brass tacks. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And, you know, hey, my wife does a great job on this podcast as well.
Yeah. What am I, chopped liver?
Are we having chopped liver for Thanksgiving? I hope not.
No.
No. Not. So what are we cooking?
Oh, you know, the huge.
The huge. I'm excited. Football. I'll be up at 3 a.m. working. And then once I get back, I'm just going to plop down on the couch and just watch some football and have a nice glass of wine.
Yeah. So reflect, everybody, and, you know, enjoy yourselves and your family and all of that good stuff. Yeah. We're thankful for you.
It's all good. So and resolve in this new year coming up to think abundantly and to sort of shift our thinking that, you know, sort of get greed out of your vocabulary. That's the goal anyway. All right. Much love to all of our listeners. If you are interested in taking action in real estate investing, we've got just tons of great resources over at morrisinvest.com. That's M-O-R-R-I-S, invest.com. We've got a really fantastic YouTube channel that has just exploded. Got lots of great videos over there. So everything you can find at morrisinvest.com. If you're ready to take action and you want us to help you get your first rental property, go ahead, book a call with our team, and we will take great care of you. Well, that's it. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.